Psalm 121 is a wonderful psalm. It's a psalm that gives us real hope, particularly in times of difficulty, which many people in our society and culture are suffering at the moment. And can I just say, perhaps you've experienced something of this in your time with us this morning, but there's no experience or emotion that we can feel that hasn't actually been captured in the book of Psalms, which is 150 Psalms. And in the Psalms, by experience, we find that you meet God where you are at. It is that personal. And we've got no greater need this morning. You might not realize it, but I'm going to tell you anyway. You've got no greater need this morning than to have an encounter with God. It's happened to me, it changed my life, absolutely. It's happened to many of us this morning, it's changed our lives upside down. And this is a psalm that people have read and found comfort in, as I mentioned, often in the most difficult of times. The psalm perhaps uniquely communicates God's great care for each and every one of us. And it's an amazing thing to experience God's care for you. If you know and understand that God has got your back, if you have faith to believe that God is in every aspect and everything you do in your life, that is an amazing and a tremendous comfort to us. It really is. And it could be for you. Because even if you wouldn't consider yourself to be a Christian, and perhaps you're just visiting this morning because Heather and Jordan have invited you, well, that's more than what I ever did. And look at me. You never know. In a few years' time, you might be preaching. Psalm 121 is appropriate today, as it's an excellent psalm to start reading to your children. It's even short enough to know it off by heart. And it is very comforting to know it. In verse 1, I lift up my eyes to the hills, from where does my help come? Most people actually in testing times put their head down, don't they? We hear that expression often in our day-to-day work. You know, somebody who is on a downer, we tend to phrase it as they've got their head down. I know that, give a football expression as well. You know, you can tell when the opposition is not doing well because the commentator will tell you they've got the head down. It's this phrase, this expression of being, you know, literally down. And oftentimes you can even observe somebody walking down your local high street, and if they're going through difficult times, if they've got some problems going on in their life, obviously, they're not looking out. They're just looking down to the ground. And yet here, this person, this character in Psalm 121 says, I lift my eyes up. He's looking to God in faith. In verse 2, he speaks to us and tells us that he understands that his help comes from God, the maker of heaven and earth. He soon jumps from the hills to where he lifted his eyes to the whole universe. God's like that. You find one thing out about him, and it's so important, and then all of a sudden a whole world of things opens up to us, and so he goes from the hills to the universe and then beyond. It's not Buzz Lightyear who's walking along here, actually, but he's looking to his maker. Here is a living help, personal, wise, immeasurable in his care for us. And what's more, it's what the Bible refers to as good news. It's interesting that if we did a deeper study of it, we could go into the fact that actually none of this psalm addresses God. All of it brings good news about God to us. That's why it's appropriate for us this morning. So God comes and speaks to us, and it's good news. Good news is what the Bible speaks to us of. A fact that there is a forgiveness of sins. A fact that there is a God who loves us and cares for us. It took me 20 years or more to find out about it and understand it fully for myself. Just something just amazing just happened. And my life was turned upside down, as it was for many of us who are gathered here this morning. But good news changes everything. I remember once sharing something about good news on a Sunday morning with King's Church, and I made this reference to Marathon in Greece, you know, where we actually get the name for what we understand now is a marathon run, and the 26 point so ever many miles. Mark could tell us a lot more about that because he's done several marathons to an excellent time. But so you can ask him more about that. But what the messenger was bringing was good news. Good news that the people needed to hear. Good news that the Greeks in this case had won. It was the Greeks, wasn't it? And you know that they had defeated their enemies. If they had been defeated themselves, they'd have been carried off into slavery. All their worldly goods would have been carried off, carried away. Their women and children carried off to foreign lands. Most of the men would have been killed. We read about these things today. They're very important to us today. But this good news came. And in the context of the original Greek language, this word, good news, means that everything changes. When you receive good news, everything changes. Nothing is ever the same again. And that's why people talk about the Bible as being good news. Might not be good news to you yet. You might not think very much of it at all. But when that good news reaches you, it does change everything. When we get to verse 3, it says, "He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber or sleep." Many of the clever people who commentate on the Bible say that here somebody else comes alongside, somebody else interjects, and it's a third party who's saying, "He will not let your foot be moved." It's like coming from an encouragement of somebody else who's on the journey. Psalm 121 is part of what the Bible calls the Song of Ascents. They were going up to a festival in Jerusalem, and the people of Israel, the nation of Israel and beyond, at certain festival times in the year, they all gathered to Jerusalem. We'd have loved to have been there. There was a lot of drink, there was a lot of food, there was a lot of partying. Any one of us would have loved to have been there. And they say that this other person comes in. And I thought, how fitting this morning that we're doing, you know, we've looked at the dedication of Gabriel and we're looking at the baptism of Heather, that we recognise from Scripture the need of other people. Chris said it again this morning. I didn't set you up for this, did I, Chris? It's just that kind of, whoa, amazing connection. And so we do need others. Heather and Jordan have prayed about that need. We've prayed and we've given ourselves, you know, to pray for and give ourselves to that family and to Gabriel as well. And so I just thought it was very, very fitting. And we feel, don't we, from time to time in our lives, the need for help. And this person knows that he needs help. And these comforting words come from somebody who draws alongside. Where does it come from? It comes from God, the maker of heaven and earth. I like the way that he answers immediately. There's no hesitation there. He knows where the answer's coming from. He knows where his help comes from. He knows who he's given himself to. He knows where his faith lies. And so the answer seems to come immediately, and it unfolds that he's full of confidence and assurance in faith that everything will be well because God is for us. And if you don't consider yourself to be a Christian this morning, and I respect that some of you would be in that thought thinking, I think that this psalm has a relevance for you as well this morning, because you too need help from time to time. Looking around this room, I can't help but think some of you actually need some help, but you need help because You are a creature, not a creator. Therefore, you are dependent on somebody or something or some others. And whether you are aware of it or not, for your every breath, there is only one explanation why that keeps happening, and that is the mystery of God. A God not distant, but compassionate, who empathizes us, a God who is with us every step of the way. And I'm just going to take verses 4 to 8 collectively, because we've run out of time. We've run out of time, actually. I've done 10 minutes and that's it. On our journey, we will all, without exception, experience and confront trials and suffering in various circumstances and situations. None of us are exempt from that. I'm not standing here smug saying, you know, as a Christian, you know, I'm all right, Jack, and nothing is going to happen to me. We're not exempt from anything. But what we are able to take great comfort in, and many people actually this week, for one reason or another, illness, loss in the family, various different things, have actually put this into practice and clung to God in the most difficult of times. And perhaps in there, somebody might be sharing that kind of news with you this morning. But all of us will suffer in various circumstances. But I want to say, I'm so grateful that in those trials and problems, I have God to cling to. That may seem really strange to you. How can you cling to a God that is not visible? How can you cling to a God that I cannot see? That's another conversation. You've got to work that one out. I'm not telling you everything this morning. But what I will say to you in closing this morning is God wants to make eye contact with you. I lift my eyes to the hills. Why does he lift his eyes to the hills? To look to God. And whoever you are this morning, God wants to make eye contact with you. Here is sentence after sentence after sentence of hope. It's all good news, and it's all coming to you if you will receive it. That's it.